A thorn in the side of corrupt institutions. A drop of chlorine dioxide starts a health revolution. How they duck and they dive, spread lies and confusion. But in truth we abide, we got the solution. It's a health revolution.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the G2 Voice broadcast. It is Sunday, August 25th, in the year of the Lord God Almighty, 2019. My name is Mark Grennan, and I'm here with my co-host,
Joseph Grennan.
Joe is with us for 154, Joe.
You are now back.
We're 154.
154.
Two more will be 3 weeks. We're pre-recording. And really, I just got back yesterday, and I'm talking to the future, if I'm still alive. I just got back yesterday on the 24th from the seminar, and so the 25th, we didn't want to be really having to hustle to get everything together to try to do a broadcast. So we'll be back live next week, which will be what? September what? What's the following week? 31 days, September 1st, is it? Will that be September 1st or September 2nd?
First. Yes.
First?
September 1st.
Yeah, we'll be back September 1st live. Is it?
Right there, 3-year anniversary. I put that down.
Ah. Well, that's kind of cool. Is it 155 is our 3-year anniversary? 156. No, that's wrong, Joe. It'd be 156 because 52 times 3.
Yeah, 156.
So it'll be the 8th will be our.
The 8th would be.
Wow. Okay. So anyways, we are covering this week. I really felt the need because Daniel's trying to get this court, take the justice system to court, and for what happened to him, that we'd rebroadcast his interview with us, what happened to him. He tells the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth with God's help during the broadcast. You're going to hear him because you might have missed it. Or we have new people all coming along all the time, Joe, listening. And I recommend you go through our whole list. In fact, you could go to mmsnews.org and go back our whole newsletters.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what we've covered the last 3 years. Each week, go through there and go, wow, what are they saying about, cholesterol hoax, PSA, what's this about Lyme? What's this about cancer? What's this about chemtrail? And I have people going back and just even getting together and watching him with his family.
Over 130 different topics.
Yeah. Well over that now, yeah. So we're going to get into that with Daniel in a minute. Let me just mention, last week we talked about Lyme. Hadn't talked about it for a long time. And a lot of people think they have Lyme. What is it? It's misdiagnosed Lyme, lupus, fibromyalgia.
Rheumatoid arthritis.
Rheumatoid arthritis, I think even multiple sclerosis. And they all have like similar symptoms. So like, oh, you got Lyme. Oh, no, you have lupus. Oh, maybe you have a combination of this and you also have MS. And you know, it's ridiculous. Get rid of it all. Get rid of the disease of the body, whatever name they put to it, to fabricate or make a medicine for that specific disease.
Sell you
when there's
drug
only
for
one.
It, yeah.
Sell you a drug for it, right. And all the doctors are trained with curriculum that was designed by the pharmaceuticals. That's a fact. Just look it up. I'm talking about medical schools that are approved by the AMA. And they all work together with the Carnegies and the Rockefellers, and they put this whole system together where they capitalize and monopolize it, got rid of the homeopathic, holistic schools, and they switched them to allopathic, which is poisoning the body, to try to put it in a state of ease. Crazy. That's what allopathic means. We're on Twitter, G2 Church. You go on there. You can get in touch with me. Hopefully it's still secure. BishopMark@ProtonMail.com. Get our newsletters, folks. That's what we cover every week. That keeps you up to date. They're free. And you might get blocked. If you sign up for a newsletter, you're not getting one Usually by Wednesday, it's out every week. Mm-hmm. If you're not getting one, they're blocking you. You might want to get a Proton email. They're free. Have it sent there. That's what I did. GoFundMe knocked Daniel off. So we did a letter a couple weeks ago. We just covered him today. If you want to help him, we're probably not going to talk about it anymore. But, hey, we gave him like a month of trying to raise some money to take the Department of Justice to court. And we want to do that, too. We want to take him to international tribunals against crimes against church and state. That's where we want to take him. Kenneth Arnett. He's running for a position in Ontario, I think. Yeah. He's like a senator or whatever they call him up there. Hope he gets it. This guy's really good guy. He started that organization, has found the Pope guilty, many church leaders and Catholic and I think Anglican churches. The Queen of Belgium resigned. A lot of stuff, and it's coming up too. Things in Ireland they're finding out. Great guy, Kevin Arnett. He has his own radio station too. And check him out. We got here different places you can find us. Get our newsletter. We're talking about all that. Every week, you want to find where the broadcast is? Go to g2voice.is. That's it. We own that. Or brighteon.com, G2 Church Channel. Bitchute.com, G2 Church Channel. Every week, they're there. And these are supposed to be uncensored. And so far, they are. And they were established because people were getting kicked off from telling people the truth of other places. MeWe.com. We're a group there called Genesis to Church of Health and Healing. Get on there. We'll accept you. And if you're an asshole, we'll kick you off. That's what happens. Telegram. We have a G2 voice group there. But on the newsletter, all these links are there. You just click on it, and you go right there. I think Brighteon, you have to subscribe. I think all of them, you have to subscribe, right? Or log in. You have to be part of them.
I think you can watch without.
Really?
Watch a video without, but you can't like it or anything.
All right. Well, anyways, I'd like everybody to like these places, get notifications.
Share it.
Yeah, share it with other people. The movie, the quantumleap.is movie. Give it to your friends. It will open their eyes to things we're doing. And we're showing befores and afters. And we even produced a protocol that if you had a vaccine and you caught it right away, you could neutralize it before it causes a vaccine damage, like my voice. 1976 swine flu. 2 weeks later, I could sing like an angel. Really, I could sing good to sound like the mafia. Protocol videos, how to start, and that's how you start. It's called starting procedure. Go there. These are all free, folks. Unless you want to get involved with us, then everything's basically free. MMS testimonials, you get them on BitChute. Under MMS Testimonials. We have it under MMSTestimonials.com, a website, videos and written. So get the book, the free ebook, get the movie, to G2 Voice. Send these all to your friends. If you love them and they're sick, they need to see that. We have the course. And a lot of things you can do, become a course. I do the course. You'll have all that stuff to teach. You'll explain it. You can review it. You got 50 videos. You become a member for a year when you buy the course. You get my ebook for free. There's a lot of things that can happen, and you can go forward and you can say, man, I'm going to help some other people. We give you all the teaching and the videos so one day you can teach others. So let me get into some testimonies, and then we'll let Daniel do that review, interview. This solution helped me. I was told that I would have to be on meds for the rest of my life. I searched and found this holy water. It must have been sent from heaven above because all my diseases disappeared in a matter of 1 week of taking this. Liz, you're truly amazing. Thanks for all you do. I love MMS. Lori, great news. After only 5 days in Protocol 1000, I had a lump disappear completely. My goal is to eradicate the EBV virus. Can't wait to see my test results in a few weeks. I'm finally taking control of my own health. Way better than the traditional route. Smooth beaches. Yeah, healthcare is a joke, folks. It's self-care. The healthcare program is pharmaceutical healthcare, and they're going to kill you. Really, sick maintenance. They don't want healthy people. They lose customers. Bishop Jordan and me and my son Stephen received the kit. Oh, Bishop Jordan. Me and my son Stephen received the kit. Stephen was very excited when I told him we now have a new kit. He swears it is helping him get his vision back. The eye doctors told him 3 years ago there was no chance of him ever seeing again. Steve loves the MMS, so do I. Please keep us in your prayers. We'll forever pray that you all get peace and divine love in your personal lives. Amen and blessed be. Love when people bless us.
Thank you.
MMS works. That's all the guys say. Oh, no, it says, handle my shingles pain in 2 days. J. Carl. That was off of Amazon. My sister bought it for me. Anyways, we started the protocol, and girl, who's sick feeling better already? Thank God I found you. After living with a chronic sinus ear infection, skin rashes, stomach problems, and sleep issues for the last 11 years, I have finally resolved those issues. Haven't been to the doctor for 3 years since taking. I started taking. I tell my friends, but don't push. Husband finally started. It's like a light bulb went on. Voila. That's French, by the way. He has had sinus and ear infections for 40 years and a bad shin rash. He is so happy now. The disease is gone. All these other things are symptoms of the disease state of the body. Mm-hmm. You don't need to be sick to take Genesis 2 Church of Health and Healing and MMS. Your body, mind, soul, spirit can obtain maximum health using MMS. Our next generation can thrive, love, care for each other more by giving MMS to them. The Holy Spirit is my teacher. I thank God for Genesis 2 Church of Health and Healing and MMS. I would not have the air in my lungs if it not for MMS. Kerry. Whoa. Deplorable. I love you guys. We have deplorable people helping us. Young World. Great video. I have CML and everything I'm trying is not working. I just came across your video, so I ordered a product. Can you inbox me with some tips? How many drops should I take? God bless us for sharing this. Well, we told them starting procedure. My after-visit summary notes high-risk PPF. It's all gone now. I'm good. I take a maintenance dose periodically and live by this holy water.
High-risk HPV.
All right. Daniel Smith tells the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. With God's help, Joe, let it roll. Okay, so I got Daniel on the line, and I asked Daniel to just give us the whole truth, the complete truth and nothing but the truth. And so everybody can know what happened. Even I have some questions. But I just want you to kind of start from just quickly where you found MMS and how we met and what happened to you, you know, four years. And just relax and tell us the story.
Okay, sure. All right, here we go. Let me first say, I want to say hi to a friend of mine who's listening probably. Her name is Karen, and she's in Ireland. And maybe my friend also in Holland, Peter, and all the other wonderful supporters who wrote me cards and letters over the last 3.5 years while in prison. It's been amazing to meet everyone, and it's been a beautiful experience. So I just want to shout out, say hi, and thank you.
Good. There's a lot of people that I would always ask me, how's Daniel? Anything on him? Can you keep me informed? You know, we'd send him to your dad and get the newsletter. We put out a newsletter. I think it was almost every month your dad would write a newsletter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Updating the people. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I was really... really impressed to contact you, and you contacted me. Let's tell the people the story that they don't know. So
yeah, okay.
Cut off. People don't know this, but we were into this a little bit and got cut off. But so we're gonna just basically have you skim over. Basically, you found MMS. You started going on eBay. You started, that kind of took off, and people just wanted this stuff. You read Jim's first book, and like I did, and then we'll fast forward to like 2007, where you got the Project Green Life going. It's a little more detailed website, offering more products, and why don't you just take it from there?
Well, okay. We had talked about, 2007, we'd kind of gotten going. Is that where we're at in the timeline here, 2007?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, yeah. So Project Green Life was a vision that we had had for several years, but we hadn't really activated it. So when I read Jim's book and learned about MMS, I really felt like this was, you know, I couldn't wait anymore. It was such an amazing story, the discovery of MMS and how it was helping people. And I just felt like I got to be a part of this. I want to be a part of this. And this is the time to do Project Green Life. So we did. And we began selling MMS. We started with our own MMS that we had in the cupboard. We had bought, a supply because, everyone should have a supply. And it sold out like in 24 hours on eBay. And so we ended up ordering more from the company that was providing at that time. And as sales went up, we ended up going to a local company, semi-local company, who did bottling for us. They did a lot of other herbs and natural remedies. And things kind of really took off. I had built sort of, because of my technical background, I had created a website that allowed people to become an affiliate so that they could share MMS with people and also get paid for it. We shared 50% of whatever whatever the retail was on the bottle with an affiliate who sold it. That allowed a lot of people in the world who needed to supplement their income a great way to do that. And so that was actually pretty exciting and fun. One of the things that we had talked about earlier, which I'll share now, was that some of the great stories that I heard. You had sort of asked, well, what kept me in this and got me going, I guess. And I'll never forget a woman who called and ordered 100 bottles of MMS, and this was the first bulk order that we had ever received of MMS. And I was like, what do you want 100 bottles for? Because one bottle's enough. It'll last you for a year. And because sometimes you get that, people would want to order a lot because they thought they would need it a lot, but you don't really need a lot when it comes to MMS, right? So she wanted 100 bottles. I asked her why. She said, well, I have a clinic back east here, and I came down with breast cancer, and absolutely nothing that we were doing in our clinic helped, but MMS did. And so we're going to share it with our clients now. Mm-hmm. And that was an exciting story. I remember another story. And like I mentioned, a lot of these people that I met in the early, in the first year, 2007 or so, that were calling in and sharing their stories, I've maintained friendships with and still talk to today. But I remember a gentleman calling in and saying, my wife, she had tumors all over her, little tiny tumors all over her lungs. And we started using MMS. And, it's been a couple months now. And we just got back from the doctor. She's got absolutely no tumors. And this was really exciting for me because it was validation that this product was really useful for people. One other thing I mentioned to you earlier was that we would have calls over the years. We'd get calls almost every week, sometimes day after day, of people saying, I had hepatitis for 20 years. I just got home from the doctor, and I tested with zero detectable virus load, and now it's being effective with the incure, and that was really amazing. And I also mentioned to you the story of a medical doctor who called our customer care representative Tammy on Thanksgiving to just let her know that a patient that he had been working with and that Tammy had been supporting for several months was officially cancer free. And this colorectal cancer And, you know, I'm sure there were other modalities that the doctor had implemented in his strategy, but, you know, MMS was definitely one of those. And so these were the kinds of stories that really kept us going. We had a thing that we did around the office where we called ringing the bell. You know, it was just so often that people would call with a great story, and so we'd ding the bell, you know, and we, metaphorically speaking, and say, look, man, this is why we're here. This is the good stuff, you know.
And so
you had asked if...
Good.
Oh, no. You had asked if we had put anything on our website about it. And if you'll recall, there really was nothing on the website about it. You could just buy the product. It said what it was. It said if you were planning to use it therapeutically, to make sure you did your research. There were links to Jim's books and so forth. But we were really careful not to make claims about it, because at the time, we were under the impression that you couldn't make a health claim about a product, which is not technically what the law says, and which I've become more, you know, intimate with over the last few years. I kind of know what's really going on in that department, but we were careful not to do that. But what we discovered, as you know, as the story progresses, you'll hear about the legal part that happens. But what we discovered in discovery, that is the legal documents that the government was required to give us while we prepared for trial, was that when the H1N1 flu came out, which was, you know, that was supposed to be the new pandemic that was going to, you know, kill off the world, which they have every couple of years. They got a new one, right? When that came out, the FDA, the discovery tells us that the FDA put together a task force whose purpose, sole purpose, was to sit around and surf the internet and find anyone who was making a claim about any product that it would help with H1N1. And I found that to be shocking, really. I mean, that it was right there in writing. This wasn't a conspiracy theory. This was truly our government looking to stop anything going on in natural health that could be a potential help to people suffering this widely marketed pandemic.
Okay, so with that same train of thought, if they're doing that and you saw the evidence of it, to stop someone from being cured of HNN1, why wouldn't they have a task force about HIV or malaria or, you know, cancer? You know they do. They're doing this.
Well, I mean,
marketing.
Sure, that may be, but remember, this is right as soon as H1N1 comes out.
Right.
So in other words, okay, we've got a new pandemic. We need to form a task force and make sure that nobody out there is telling the consumers that there's a cure for it or something that might help it, right?
Zika, Ebola.
Oh, you can be sure they did that when that happened too. Yeah, absolutely. So, where are we in the story? Things are going along pretty well.
Through it, we're going along and we fast forward to... You guys are doing really well, and you're helping a lot of people. And that's when I got plugged into you. It was about 2008.
2008, I think it was.
We had a little website, and I said, wow, this is great. He'll help us make a little money, and we can get it to anybody around the world that contacts us. So it was perfect. You weren't doing anything wrong, and of course you're motivated. You're getting these testimonies. It's like we are. So... You come down to the Dominican Republic. I'm kind of going a little faster because we had to do it again. But you come,
sure.
you come down to the Dominican Republic with you and Joe and Tammy, and Mia's there, and we all kind of, it's our first seminar. We're going to announce that we're starting a church, and we had all the marketers there that didn't like it because, church, you're going to ruin MMS.
Yeah.
Not that you were one of them. didn't like it, but you know, there was a bunch of people like confused. What are you going to take MMS to? No, we're going to have a sacrament for our temple and not have anybody tell us we can't put this and treat our temple and keep it clean. So, anyways, you come down there.
Yeah.
And take it from there, because as soon as you leave, all hell breaks loose for us. They tried as a church, and you within a couple months after you left. He was there in June.
Yeah.
This was like July.
Right.
First one was June.
Take it up from there. What happened?
Yeah, well, we did come down there to Dominican Republic and met some great folks. You know, people who became friends for life. And I think this was right as soon as that you, Jim had announced that Genesis 2 was going to be a thing. And, you know, we were just manufacturers and distributors in the market of an MMS product. But, of course, we were very interested in what Jim was doing and how that market was going, and so we came down to sort of explore that. That's when I met you, and Joe, were you there too?
Yeah, I was there.
Yeah, and found out, learned about the MRSA that both your sons had, and ended up going back to the U.S. and things kind of stayed as they were, and in 2010, August, I believe, July or August, we get a call from our fulfillment company who says the FDA is here. They basically demanded entrance. They've shut down the operations. They're and what they were doing was essentially a plant map and gathering information. They wanted access to the computers, but they weren't given access to the computers because their attorney told them not to. Now, remember, this was a third-party fulfillment company. It's not our company. So they had other business to conduct. And so they didn't give them, you know, readily access to the computers. Interestingly enough, sidebar, I can't prove anything, but somebody did break into their facility 3 days, 4 days later and stole those computers. And that was the only thing they stole. And those computers were ancient. And I mean, they look like 486s, if you know what I mean. It's like, you know, these were the computers that sent the, us to the moon, right? These things were old. And the only thing that was of any value on them would have been data. So that was interesting. But
that was in August, just so the people know.
Yeah, I think
the
so.
FDA was gearing up against Jim, against us, against you being basically the biggest distributor in America, maybe the world, right up there, and us starting a church 2 days after you leave, 3 days, they're knocking on my door with a military consumer protection agency called Pro Consumador in Spanish, and cameras, and I opened the door. I just happened to be the guy. Hello. Yes, this who we are, and we hear you sell MMS, and we're here to. I said, whoa, 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 whoa. We're a church, and I was already a missionary. It had been a church compound, so I wasn't giving them a story. They didn't know about Genesis 2 Church yet, but I'm a church, and this is what we do. We show people how to take care of their temple with natural products. Boom, get out of here, basically. And they left. Found out later from a lawyer in the Capitol who takes MMS that they heard about a case where the FDA called the embassy, sent them out to Barahona,
yeah,
and to shut us down. And they were told by the FDA to do it. And then you find out, what did you find out in the discovery?
So, in the legal documents that were required to be given to us by the government, we found a report from the FDA of that incident where they sent people and what they reported and said. In fact, they probably still have it. It's all in Spanish, so I don't have a clue what it said.
Right,
but I do have it somewhere.
Just to show the people, they're in a they have forces or agencies or little groups or within that, that's what they do. They just shut down people. And they're just, to me, they're just lapdogs to the big pharma. So they start attacking you. They, you know, they're going after you. They're going to shut you down. So what happens next? You go into these looking and meet some people that say get a private club and send letters.
Well, first I... Well, first I go to my attorney, who comes highly recommended in Nevada and had, you know, been head-to-head with the FDA before. I call her. She calls. She says, well, let's call the FDA and figure out why they're there, because notice they haven't contacted me. They haven't told me anything is wrong. I haven't received a letter, which they typically do. They've just sort of stormed a third-party fulfillment company and a manufacturing company and haven't even come to me directly. So, probably the smartest thing I did was to call an attorney to have them, you know, so I'm not talking to the FDA, right? The attorney calls the FDA and says, look, what's going on? Is there something wrong with the website? What's going on? And they essentially say, look, we don't like the product MMS. They don't say there's something actually wrong with it legally. And they say, we want you to do a voluntary recall. We want your client to do a voluntary recall. So I talk to my attorney and I say, well, what should I do? And she says, look, you don't want these people in your life. They will make it miserable. And it's best if you just do your quote voluntary recall. Not very voluntary, of course, but it's just do the recall and get on with your life. So I did that. And I knew that would pretty much tank PGL. But you know, who's going to go head-to-head with the government, right? So I get thousands of emails, people saying the FDA can have this MMS when they pry it from my cold, dead hands, and people calling me names for you know, kowtowing to the FDA, and you know, a few people asking for refunds, and which we did our best to manage and put someone in charge of. And shortly thereafter, I talked to someone who says, hey, you know what you need to do is you need to call the Pro Advocate group in Texas. They'll set you up as a private association, and then you can you know, keep going in business and you'll be just fine. I go, well, that sounds intriguing. So I call them and I ask them, and they give me this legal dissertation of why on the 1st and 14th Amendment under the right of association, we have the ability to associate with one another for all various purposes and to provide private, you know, and to basically do private contracting with one another and to basically remove the government and their regulations from those things. And they give us the example that there are counties, for example, still in Texas that are dry from the era of the prohibition, and how the law still in the books is that they can't sell alcohol. But the way they get around that is they have what they create a private association under the First Amendment right of association. And now they can go in and contract and sign a membership, become a member of the club or the private association, and there can be selling and buying of alcohol. And I go, well, this sounds pretty good. Do you have anybody that has done this before? I'm wanting to do my due diligence. And they put me in touch with Dr. Overman, the late Dr. Overman of Precision Herbs, and I call him, and he says, well, yeah, the FDA was here for 10 days. They had their guns, and they were really, you know, not very nice and threatening to charge, you know, us criminally. And they were doing their plant map where they draw everything and they take a picture of every label and they try and find everything wrong that they can. And we contacted the Pro Advocate group and they gave us a series of letters and helped us reorganize as a private association. And we've never heard from them since. And I said, well, that's great. And then I talked to an attorney in Florida who was selling the private association gig also. And I talked to another manufacturer of MMS who said, yeah, we went private. We sent the same letters to the FDA and never heard from them again. And I'm like, okay, I'll give this a try. So I ended up paying $48,000 for this. And they gave us a series of seven letters that we sent the FDA. And they basically said, okay, here's our legal position. Here's the law. You know, here's the case law. And so, you know, unless you have a legal valid objection, here's what we're going to do. Please let us know if you have that, you know, a legal valid objection within X amount of days. And sure enough, we never hear from him again. And it says, you know, unless, you know, we hear from you, or if we don't hear from you, you know, this is what we're going to do. So I wait until those letters have been received, green carded. I wait the allotted time. I don't hear from anybody. And so we convert to a private association, and we go back into selling, you know, all of our products under the private association, including MMS. And so this continues for a year. We don't hear from the FDA. And really what's happening is they get my letters, and this really ticks them off. You know, how dare I go private and go outside of their regulatory scheme or whatever. So instead of telling me that they have an objection, they create a clandestine, in quote, investigation. Now, the and it's a criminal investigation. In other words, they're going to try and find something I'm doing wrong that they can press criminal charges for. And they're going to look everywhere. Literally, they're on my property taking photographs through windows, being chased off the property because we don't even know they're FDA agents at this point. I mean, we're months down the road. They're going through garbage late at night. They're any garbage that we throw out, they go through it, you know, that sort of thing. They're staking out. They're putting GPS devices on our fulfillment people's cars and going to the fulfillment house and just going crazy. And so what they do is they amass all this data, and then they write this, I think it's a 72-page affidavit by the FDA agent. And they take this to the magistrate and say, yeah, we have reason to believe that this company is breaking the law. And they cite laws. I mean, it is, we think that they're illegally importing, which was absolutely a joke. And we think that they cite loosely the FDCA, but they don't really say, they kind of mealy mouth around because they don't have anything. We're not doing anything illegal, but they get enough for the magistrate to grant a full-blown search and seizure warrant. Not only one, but several. One for our home, one for the fulfillment agency, the fulfillment company, one for the manufacturing company, and of course one for all our bank accounts. And it seems like there was more, but it's hard to remember. But so anyway, fast forward to, when was this? 2011, June of 2011. So we're like a year from the time that I, from their first raid.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, and the time that we sent them the messages and waited to hear and didn't hear anything back and thought, well, okay, we're good to go. And, but here they come in like a flood. So I happened to be in New Mexico taking my daughter to summer yoga camp when I get a phone call from tenants at our house who said that there are men in flap jackets who have basically just raided the house. So they had 10 to 12 agents swoop down on three different locations at once. And these people are not kind about, you know, how they do this. And of course they scared Karis to death. She was diagnosed with PTSD after it was over. Anyway, thankfully, our daughter Sabby wasn't there. She was at yoga camp when it happened. Anyway, so they basically took all the equipment, all of the product. They took all of they took things that didn't have anything to do with the business that the warrant clearly said they couldn't take. They, you know, private personal mail. They took every computer. They seized all the money in the bank accounts. It was obvious that their purpose was to put us out of business and to get all the data and information and anything they could to try and find a law that we had broken. Because up until now, they're operating on probable cause. It's probable that we've broken some law. We can't really say what, but we think it might be this or it might be that. You know, it's kind of a thing, right? So, where do I go from here? We do find out reading the search warrants that they had conducted what they call controlled buys. Controlled buys in November. So after I had sent them the letters, told them what we were doing, and asked if they had any legal valid objection, instead of answering, they pretended to be somebody else and ordered MMS from our website. They, in order to have done that, they had to have actually signed the private association agreement, and which, you know, said that they weren't, government agency trying to, you know, get involved or whatever. So some people think that government agents aren't allowed to lie, but the case law is very clear. They are allowed to lie about anything, anytime they want. Their name, what they do, what they're doing, what they're not doing, they can lie about anything. That's perfectly
legal. They're undercover.
Yeah. Yeah. So we find out they've done the controlled buys, and so we sent them the MMS and those, and ends up that later on, ends up that the charges are based on the controlled buys. And this is how it gets into it legally, where they say, your MMS for Newbies booklet, which tells the story of Jim Humble's discovery of how chlorine dioxide kills the pathogens that cause diseases, is being construed as a claim. Now that's not, in and of itself, not illegal. You could say that if you want. You've got freedom of speech and so forth. But what happens is when you make a claim, in other words, if I were to sell you a bottle of water, Mark, and say, here's a bottle of water, you buy it, that's all good. But if I were to tell you that it would mitigate your dehydration, it would be immediately captured under the regulatory scheme as a drug. Why? Because it is being sold with the intent to treat, cure, prevent, or mitigate disease, or to change the structure or function of the human body. If my intent is that, and that intent is weighed by the things I say about it, so clearly, the Newbies booklet said something that could be construed as having the intent of mitigating some diseased conditions. So they captured it as a drug. It's not a drug like what you would perceive at the pharmaceutical company. It's just a drug under the legal definitions of the FDCA, the Food, Drug, Cosmetic Act.
Let me put a little commercial break here. A thought, because we were talking about this earlier, you and I, when you came down and we started the church, you were already working, doing your site, going on, FDA hadn't come yet, and you decided to go the route of the association, which
private
is
association.
To me logical, right? It works, so just do it. But we didn't even consider any of that, because as a church, you don't have to. And so we went off.
Well, and you were also outside of the United States, so what would any of those constitutional rights have to do with you?
Right.
You're operating under more of a fundamental right as opposed to a constitutional right. And those rights cross boundaries. And I'm not at all giving legal advice or saying what is or what isn't. But we were in the United States, and so we were operating under what we perceive.
Yeah. Law. And you need permissions to get those and licenses and to get those associated and be accepted when a church is just fundamentally natural law and you can take anything you want. what you consider as a sacrament. So I just wanted to say that, but say this is why we, because they kicked a door in England, we threw them out. They tried to do that in Dominican Republic, we threw them out. They tried to stop Joe and I from coming into Vancouver, and we said, okay, we will not come in, but everybody will know there's no religious freedom here because we're going to a church service. We were in Better Reporter, 2020 did a thing on us. Mm-hmm. But we're going back and forth. They know where I'm at. They know what I do, where I live. But we're a church.
Right.
It's a big, it's like apples and oranges. We're not under any commercial code, statute, or law. We don't speak legalese. We're just taking a sacrament to keep our temple clean. Now, I'm not trying to go forward to the point where now they got you. When did you leave the country? Not that you were running, but I know you spent a little time in out of the country, then you came back to
say, right. You know? Right. Yeah. So I wasn't under, all they had done was a search and seizure warrant. They had just taken stuff and shut our business down. I had promised a trip to Ecuador to my family, and I had gone down the year before and looked for property. So short time after we were completely shut down, I just said, well, what, you know, do you want to go take our vacation now? Now's the time to do it. We got nothing else to do. And so we did, and I wasn't under indictment or anything like that. So it was not like I was fleeing or anything like that. But we did find out while we were in Ecuador that they were going forward and trying to put together a grand jury. Now, I'll say that it took them nearly 2 years from the time of the search warrant to obtain a grand jury indictment, and that we know that they went to the grand jury on multiple occasions. The prosecutor who told me that I could testify for the grand jury, because I asked incessantly, I said, if you're going to the grand jury, I want to testify. And of course, every attorney will tell you don't do that. But I'm like, I know what this is about. This is a spin story, and I want to make sure I'm there to be asked and to answer questions. And that was one of the things, was I said I will be willing to answer any question of the grand jury and the prosecution, whatever. And we have the transcript from the grand jury, and the prosecutor actually lied to the grand jury and said that I wasn't willing to submit myself to question and answers when I had wrote him very specifically. At one point he told me I could come and testify, but when I got there, he had already gone back to Washington, D.C. and closed it down. So it was clear that they were having difficulty getting an indictment. And the only way they got it in the end was to bring in an FDA agent as the only witness to testify, who testified solely in hearsay fashion, and they led with the Sylvia Fink story. Now, I don't want to necessarily get into Sylvia Fink right at the moment, but I think it's worthy to address at some point in this conversation.
It always comes up, so you might as well mention it.
I'll get there in a minute, I think. We did go to Ecuador, and but they didn't. They weren't able to indict anyway. We came back, and it would be another over a year before they had an indictment. And we had actually moved to Ashland at that time. We were kind of done with Spokane. We wanted to enroll our daughter into a really nice school down there, a Waldorf school. And we did. We moved down, and she got enrolled. And then all of a sudden one day one morning, 7 o'clock-ish in the morning, we're getting Savvy ready for school. She's not even out of bed yet. And Karis tells me that there's people outside, and I go check it out, and sure enough, there's a whole team of FDA agents that have arrived to our home in Ashland. Get dressed, answer the door. They ask if we're so-and-so. They step in, they put handcuffs on us, they tell us we're under arrest. And this was the beginning of some really heart-wrenching experiences. Our daughter's in the other room You get kind of choked up when I think about it. But they did allow us to go in and talk to her. And I am very grateful to this day that they allowed Karis to call local friends to come and get her so that she didn't, you know, go into foster care. Family came and picked her up and brought her back to Spokane. She would actually be reunited with her mom and dad within 30 days. But we spent the next 30 days in jail being transferred around before we would see a magistrate. I asked them, what are we being arrested for? They handed me the paperwork. I eventually got to read the indictment right before the it was like pre-arraignment. It wasn't actual arraignment. It was to decide whether or not they were going to transfer the case up to Spokane where they originally obtained the warrants or the warrants and the indictment. And so I got to read the indictment, and it was just the most ridiculous. That's not the word for it. Let me restate. It was so much smoke and mirrors, filled with little twists of the truth, to make you have a really negative outlook, to convince you that some crimes had been, you know, committed, but there were none of the elements for any of the crimes in it, which are required for an indictment, as you probably know. It was just this smoke and mirrors document, but we were frightened. It was a frightening moment. We had just been separated from Sabby, and they arrested both Karis and I. Karis at this point had nothing to do with the business whatsoever. When she was there in the very beginning, she did some fulfillment. But by the time it went private, she was nothing, zero to do with the business or with the association at that point. But they had arrested her, and they had charged us with, four counts of felony misbranding, which I'll explain. What do they call that? It's under the smuggling the smuggling statute, but it's the second stanza, and it's basically a fraudulent importation. That's what they call it. A fraudulent importation of merchandise contrary to law, and which I'll explain. And then they said we conspired to do it all, and they also went after our manufacturer Chris. And our customer care representative Tammy, and what we learned really quick was they were only after me. The prosecutor made this clear to all of the other attorneys because we were all forced to have separate attorneys so that they would pit us against each other, because that's an attorney's job, is to only work for their client and not the other clients. And so their job is to make all the other clients look bad and their client to look great. That's their job. So automatically, when they pull four people in and it includes family members, they know somebody's going to quote turn, right? So whatever that means. And so they had all four of us indicted and said that we couldn't speak to each other, but that was kind of difficult given you know, my relationship with Karis. And they bounced us around. We ended up at arraignment, and thank God they allowed me to be out on pretrial release. They could have kept me in prison during the 2 years, the additional 2 years that it took to take the case to trial. During that time, they whittled away at everyone, you know, scaring them to death with this threat of 37 years. The attorneys honestly just did not have a clue. They had never done an FDA case. They had never studied FDA law. And they were way in over their head. Of course, these were all appointed, local attorneys. And so they had one goal, and that was to get their client to plead out. Well, my attorney knew right away I wasn't pleading out. And in fact, I had to make a really difficult situation on whether or not I was going to go pro se. I wasn't allowed to have the discovery in my own keeping if I wasn't pro se, which means that I would have to rely on the schedule of my attorney to go through something like 2.4 million documents that they had in discovery. And there's no way I'm going to sit down at his desk and go through all of that and try and solve this problem. Now, this particular attorney that they assigned me did not use any of the digital media used in law, like Westlaw or LexisNexis now. He didn't use any of that. He was old school. So I knew that this was not going to work. So I had to make a very hard decision and go pro se just so that I could file my own pleadings and make my own arguments. I had also from jail ended up through the help of the Pro Advocate Group and family filed like 12 motions before arraignment, which had probably never been done in federal court. And it was very clear that they wanted to force an attorney on me because they wanted to use a local rule to throw out all of my pleadings once I took an attorney so they wouldn't have to rule on them because they challenged jurisdiction, etc.
You see how corrupt the whole system is, though? You know?
Oh, the system is broken through and through. There's no doubt about that. But there is redemption at the end of the story.
No, I was just going to say that I was in Missouri and I saw on the wall inscription to be carved into the wall of the Senate. Said nothing is legally right that is morally wrong, and I've kept that with me for a long time. And the thing is, they talk about the rule of law. What about if the laws are evil or are immoral? You can't obey those. So they sound like really proud. The rule of law is what we'll live under.
Yeah, like
not
stop
if the
helping
laws
people.
Are junk and useless. But God, I'm sorry, I just had to say that because I just get so, even the President Trump now, he's saying the Department of Justice is criminal, there's so many problems there, and it's way up the people making
decisions. Look, this is absolutely the truth, and I am not here to bash the government. Right. I don't even really have an axe to grind. After all of this, I don't have an axe to grind, believe me. But I will tell you, the system is broke. It's broke for a reason. And the monetization that goes on through the penal system is really what this is all about. These indictments end up getting thrown into Fidelity funds, and they're worth a lot of money in a Ponzi scheme that the government's involved in makes my head spin. Yeah. But at the end of the day, you know, where I was at prison, that prison made $44,000 a year to house me. Right. And let me tell you, they did not give me $44,000 worth of bedding and food. It was not a fun place to be.
Well, people don't realize they're privately owned businesses and they push and have advocates to go for the three strikes and get people locked up for longer because they're making-
well, and the state cases are very much like that. Federal's different; it's a different animal, but it's still driven by funds. It's still driven by prestige. Prosecutors do lie. Oh, they do. They lie, and the agents and they train the agents how to testify, and you know they coach them and. This is a process that's very stacked, and you say the rule of law. I can't tell you that they actually followed the law in my case. They didn't, but that's a whole other thing. And like I said, I'm not here to even grind an axe on that issue because I've come out with a different understanding of it all than I went in.
All right, so let's get out of the tunnel. You went to court. Mm-hmm. Now, tell us about the fiasco of the court because I heard. You couldn't even defend yourself. I couldn't go there. They wouldn't let me come in as a with the testimonies as a witness. We had a doctor that was a nun, and she was a doctor in Yale, curing people all over Africa. They wouldn't.
Yeah, Teresa Forcade, Sister Teresa Forcade. She's a Harvard graduate, a nun, and I'll tell you what. The second I turned her in. Her name in as a potential witness because she had offered to do so, and we had lengthy conversations about that. The prosecution was, they went to town to make sure that she never was allowed on the stand. And that's what they'll do. They will so limit your ability to put on a defense. I mean, the first they'll stack the jury with only people that will be sympathizers with the government, only people who absolutely believe in the FDA. I mean, the questions they were using to weed out people were like, do you believe in vaccinations? And if you didn't believe in vaccinations, you were not getting on that jury. You know, if you believed in them, you could be on there for sure, because obviously the government could only want your best interest at all times, right? So they stack the jury. They don't really follow the rules. The rules are stacked in their favor, and they're not going to let your witnesses on. And if you try and go a certain way in presenting a defense, they're not going to let you do that. But to answer your question, what happened? So I eventually said, okay, Your Honor, I've raised funds for a real legal defense. I need an attorney. I need an extension for to find a real attorney now, because at this time everyone else had pled out, and they had pled out on misdemeanors, and which means they got no time, and which is good. And I'm really glad. I mean, I was mortified that they had been drug into this when all they really wanted was me, because I had angered them by going private. I should have just stayed out of the business. I mean, MMS would have gotten along just fine without Daniel. They didn't need me to, keep going. But right,
it's not right. What happened to you?
No,
they put this in our water, well, Daniel. They put this. They clean our hospitals with it. They put it on our vegetables, on our meats, and never wash it off. And you can't put it in water and tell someone to drink it after the water has been treated. That's what they do. Coleman in Walmart has a two-part thing which makes chlorine dioxide to purify water. It sickens
me. And but what they don't tell, what this company doesn't do, is tell you that it'll kill pathogens that might cause diseases. Because if they did, it would be captured as a drug. And then they would go after them and say, oh, well, your label's not right for a drug. It needs to say this. And so this would be a good time to actually tell you what the charges were and what they were about. So when they said that we had felony misbranded, what happens when they capture a drug into their regulatory system? They capture something into the regulatory system, call it a drug. Then there's this huge list of things that you have to do if you're manufacturing a drug. Well, we're not manufacturing a drug. We're manufacturing a water purification product that people use in the privacy of their home, and sometimes they make it into a substance that they use therapeutically, but they're the manufacturer at that point, not me, right? But they skip all that, and you're not allowed to put on a defense of that. But so what they said was, okay, well, here's this huge list of things that you have to do if you're manufacturing a drug. And one of those is that you're facility has to be registered with your manufacturing facility has to be registered with the U.S. Secretary of Health. So they claimed that our facility wasn't. As I'm sitting there during trial, I'm looking at a document that the attorneys pulled out of discovery that says very clearly that they were registered with the U.S. Secretary of Health. And I said, well, get up and, you know, do the thing, you know, tell them, you know, ask the question, present that document. No. He's got other plans, right? So, but that's another story. So anyway, they didn't even prove at trial that they weren't registered with the Secretary of Health. They just, it was so flim-flam how they did it and how they got away with it. And I just don't want to get into the minutia of it. But but anyway, so that was the misbranding charges. And then they said, well, because a standard MSDS for sodium chloride says that it's used in a chlorine dioxide generator, that it might be used for odor control. These are standard things. And when the gentleman who sold us the sodium chloride from Canada sent one of the shipments and it had an MSDS, a standard MSDS, that said that this would be used for odor control and in a chlorine dioxide generator. And so they said, well, you didn't say it was going to be used in a drug, so you fraudulently imported. I mean, come on, what a joke, right? So then, of course, they said we conspired to do it all. We conspired to do all of those things, which was a joke. And I'm getting kind of fired up about it because it's
part of your life.
It's ridiculous, but
took away your freedom. That's what I'm pissed off about.
I'm upset about that too sometimes, but that's worked out for good though, which I'll explain. I mean, I'm okay with that part. I just don't like.
Tell about that lady, because everybody asks me, they make these statements, even ABC. They went to the guy, his wife was died of taking too much MMS. They interviewed him on a thing they did 2020 against us.
Yes.
Tell them that story.
Yes, can you imagine how interesting it was for me to watch that 2020 special from prison?
Yeah. Yeah.
With everyone standing around watching it with me and seeing my picture there. Yeah. That was interesting. So how that came about, gal's name was Sylvia Fink. And her husband, Doug Nash. So I got a call when I was in Sunnyside waiting, for sentencing, Sunnyside jail. I got a letter from New York. From Cindy Galley of ABC News, said she'd like to fly out and interview me. And I'm thinking to myself, you do not want to do a fair story on this. This is a joke. I had a friend look up Cindy Galley, and it turns out she follows all consumer cases of the prosecutor that's in my case. She's not here to do anything, you know, legit, right? So I wrote her very respectfully. I said, look, Cindy, I appreciate you wanting to come do an interview, but I'm not interested in that. But I tell you what you probably would be interested in are the stories of all the people who've used MMS, all the consumers. So I hope whatever story you're doing, you'll check that out. And then I mentioned this, and I think Jim – and I gave the information for Cindy Galley's contact information out, and Jim sent a letter out. And many people, hundreds of people who had positive results with MMS ended up sending letters, emails to Cindy Galley. Mm-hmm. Cindy Galley shows up at my sentencing in sort of guerrilla style, interviews my friend Rich and my sister Jennifer, you know, as they're leaving the courthouse. And doesn't get an interview from me, but she admits, and I don't know if it was on camera or off camera, that she did receive hundreds of emails from people who said they had a positive impact with MMS. Now, I want you to contrast that with the ABC News special where ABC said, we don't have any evidence that MMS has ever helped anyone. Right. Oh, really? You didn't get hundreds of emails that you could have answered anyone. You could have called them back. You could have asked if they had records to show you. So you see what ABC is really about here. This is about a shocking story about a woman who allegedly died using MMS. Now, let's point out that no one else has ever been reported having died from MMS. But I will tell you, and I have the document Doug Nash filed with the FDA a year after his wife's death, stating that she took only 2 drops of MMS. She died 10 hours later. Now, what ABC probably knows by now, but didn't know at the time, was that I had an affidavit of some folks who were there when it happened. And it turns out that Sylvia Fink was allegedly dosing very largely on anti-malaria medications, which cause methemoglobinemia, which is what the autopsy report says she died of. Now, ABC says in an article that she died, that they found the autopsy found sodium chlorate in her body. Absolutely impossible.
Exactly.
Ridiculous statement. It's absolutely a lie. ABC News should be held accountable for that. But they didn't even do the autopsy for, I think, 10 to 2 weeks afterwards. You couldn't have found sodium chloride in her body even an hour
No.
Even 10 minutes after. It's impossible. Salt. It's chemically impossible.
You're right. You find some salt. And, so people ask us all the time because they point that out. And it's not even a true story. You feel bad for the guy. He lost his wife. No one's going to say he deserved it or anybody. But they look like they're scoundrels. But
look, I'm gonna be. What I don't like, Doug Nash. I'm very upset about this thing. Okay, and when I say upset, I say that mildly because I don't really get upset about a lot of things. But this really bothers me. Doug Nash knows that Sylvia was overdosing on anti-malaria medications, which basically steals the oxygen from the blood because your iron, it can't carry the oxygen. And the people that were with them report that she was constantly complaining of something wrong with her, and she didn't know what. She was constantly out of breath. She had to leave a dinner party the night before because she was white as a ghost and couldn't breathe. She had methemoglobinemia. It was, and so she didn't try MMS until the next morning. Allegedly took 2 drops, but she died 10 hours later. She only took the MMS out of desperation because she didn't know what else to do because she was already something wrong with her. Doug Nash lied, boldface lied, to national television and to the news media, who go around reporting those, that there was nothing wrong with Sylvia, that she was in perfect health, and hides the fact that she was taking these medications that she was getting from, I guess, the Peace Corps or they unprescribed. Listen, I'm going to tell you, Doug Nash, when my friends were on ship trying to revive Sylvia, Doug Nash only called them when she was beyond repair. And Doug Nash was taking photographs when they were trying to revive her. And I'm sorry, I get emotional about it, and I don't even know Sylvia.
You're right, it's a sad situation.
And I think that Doug Nash didn't want to be responsible for something and needed MMS to be a scapegoat. Right. And so he went immediately to the media to blame MMS when he knows MMS is not what was the direct contributor to the death of Sylvia Fink. No. He knows
that. It's impossible, bro. There's studies that show they give the 10 times the lethal dose for a man to rats, and it takes 6 weeks to kill the rats. 6 weeks of 10 times a lethal dose for a man, never mind a rat. And so it's completely impossible to take 2 drops and to have any kind of reaction that would kill you.
It really is impossible.
We've done,
and that's how
people.
That's how, Mark, that when you read the transcript of the grand jury testimony by the FDA agent, they opened up to the grand jury with the story of Sylvia Fink and told the grand jurors that we were selling this dangerous product that killed this woman. And that's how they got their indictment. But again, I'm not here to grind an axe. I have to
but
stress
I just
that.
To tell the story. We're going to be, I told you in the beginning, this is all behind you, bro. Go on. You know, but people want to know because they were part of you. They're praying for you. What happened to Daniel?
Yeah.
Well, let him tell us because, you know, he got screwed, really. He got screwed, blued, and tattooed by the FDA and the justice system. And I'm not – is this a true story that the persecutor became the assistant attorney general of Pennsylvania after he left there? Is that true?
I have not confirmed that, but I did hear that that he left the
like as a reward.
I'm sorry,
he got rewarded.
The DOJ, within days.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if that's true. So
I like to ask things like that just to confirm.
Sure.
I don't like to tell stories. But the sad story is, here's a guy, Joe, talking to my son. You know him. You see him. He's just trying to help people, just like we did. Mm-hmm. He went down the road of trying to do a private club. We've been doing it as a church. And, you know, we're fighters anyways, and we're going to fight for the rights of the people to choose. Hey, if they want to go chemo, radiation, surgery, go ahead. You want to do that? But let me choose what I put in my body. Don't you make and force it.
Mm-hmm.
So here you are. You're being indicted. You're going through the trial. Your family's suffering. You're like a Dr. Mangala type person to the people. You're horrible, just like they try to portray us. And that doesn't really bother me because I know the truth. But the difference is, we're doing it as a sacrament. He mm-hmm. wasn't. And now he's out. And Daniel, your family doing good?
My family is doing good. And you know, I'm still working to get my feet on the ground. But, you know, let me just say that this whole experience, yes, the system is broke. It is broken to the core. But here's what I've learned, and I can't tell this story and not tell this part, that we're born into a broken world because we have some fixing to do, and it takes a broken world to fix us. And what I'm saying is that this experience, it takes these experiences to work a better thing in us. And if we were born into a perfect world without any difficult times, difficult relationships, difficult things to work through, you know, the advancement of our souls, if you will, would not take place. So, you know, one of my biggest lessons in this is that I'm not, and I thought from the beginning I was here to make some big difference and to change the world, but I'm not here to change the world. I'm here to change me.
Right.
And in doing so, that will maybe have a positive impact on the world, but, you know, the world's broken for a reason. And, you know, maybe as time goes on, it's going to get less and less broken. But, you know, I'm actually grateful for this whole experience. It's taught me so many amazing things. I've been allowed to, you know, been provided a way to sort of allow and relinquish and release things. I don't have to have, you know, I don't have to have things my way anymore. I'm less in need of being in control. I'm just sort of taking life as it comes and you know, seeing the blessings in everything. And we can take any really difficult circumstance and make the best of it in that way. And I want to say one thing about the government. The government is made up of people that are enforcing policies, but by and large, these people aren't evil people. The policies may be driven by greed and thereby have sort of a ulterior motive that we might say is quote evil or whatever. But and so we sometimes think that the people that are out there that just feel like they're doing their job, and some people actually think that they're doing the right thing. And I met so many people from the courts to the even attorneys to the guards at prisons that are decent people. And so I'm not here to attack anyone.
Right.
Yeah, they're all evil.
I just put a meme up on my site today. It's got a picture of a lion. It says, God doesn't give the hardest battles to his toughest soldiers. He creates the toughest soldiers through life's hardest battles. And
there you go.
It just makes you tougher and more. Now you really, you know, you're just like, okay, this is, you know, I got screwed. I can be bitter or I can be better. and you've chosen to be better because of it. Now, you're definitely not going to make the same mistakes again and go that route. So this is why I tell people all the time, and I've told people, they got Daniel because he didn't have the protection that we have as a sacrament. They got him. He was working under commercial law. He's working under where the statutes and codes will get you. Okay, this is why I tell people, become a member, set up a house church, only if you really believe that you have the right to take care of your own health, and this is your temple, and these are sacraments you take, sacred things. And if you don't believe that, we don't want you a part of us. We're not playing a game. Oh, come here and take up a mess and hide and be a church. No. Only the people that really believe this. And now, I don't know if you know this, but there's like 3,500 of us around the world in over 135 countries. We've got over 200 churches started. And we're setting up everywhere around the world now a place where people can come and restore their health. And so, out of all this, you made us stronger, honestly. While you're fighting that stuff, we're like, no, we're not going to take that. That's not going to happen to us. We're going to go forward as a church. And if they come after us as a church, they're going to have to go through every church. The snake handlers in Arkansas that let snakes bite them and they die. But it's legal because it's their sacrament. I think it's crazy, right? But they let it happen. Now, We're having testimonies come in every week. Daniel, next week, well, 2 weeks from now, I found 178 testimonies from New Zealand from one guy, our bishop. He sent me 178 testimonies, all categorized from asthma to what the W was. I don't know what the W was.
Warts.
Warts, yeah. But from all kinds of cancers. It's all. I'm going to make that all one broadcast. So we're doing a scientific human study among voluntary people that are self-dosing all over the world, cross-cultural, cross-race, and this is real science, observation, and repeatability. And this is what we're trying to prove in my book and through the seminars we're doing and in this broadcast is this is really working. This guy got screwed. He got kicked, and I'm so glad you're upbeat, positive, and like, well, that chapter's done in my life. Here I go, and let's do something to maybe get in. I want to get into hemp. I heard the Supreme Court, and they passed a law in Congress now, that hemp will be legal to grow again. I want to get rid of all the plastics on Earth. I want to talk about free energy. MMS is just one of the things I use in my life, you know? And it's a holistic approach to life. So we can keep going on and on. But at the bottom line is you got sentenced. It was going to be 37 years. You got 4. And even then, God did some special things for you. And they gave you a job where you could leave. I saw that. And we were praying. God's given him... letting him prepare a table in the presence of his enemies, even though he's.
A
lot of people.
It was amazing. People didn't even get to go out of the prison. I got to get out and drive people around.
Yeah.
And they trust me. They give me the keys to a government vehicle and the phone, and I'd come back. Boy, and it wasn't fun coming back and resurrendering every day to go to prison. But
see, those prayers.
I did my time. That was all right.
People were praying for you to, in the midst of this, give you some comfort, give you some guidance that, hey, God's got a look. I call them winks. God's just winking at you. I got you. I know you're here. You didn't do anything.
So many people wrote me while I was in prison, and it was what kept me going, the letters and the cards, and I'm so thankful. If I hadn't had those, I would have lost heart. Hey, there were things along the way.
Can you give us your email for people to write you if they want to write you? Is that okay?
Yeah, absolutely. Today I woke up 2018@gmail.com.
Today I woke up 2018@gmail.com.
Any capital?
All lowercase.
No, no cap. That doesn't matter. No. No. And
I talked about this. I think you should write a book. I think it's you should write a something, you know, saying this is my experience. But I don't know, maybe in one regard you don't want to go over it. In your mind you want to forget that chapter and go on. But you, I want to let you know, you encouraged us, especially when you could have taken a lower thing and pleaded guilty. You didn't plead guilty. And that takes some character to do that, knowing if I plead guilty, I might only get 6 months or just probation, but I didn't do anything wrong. How can I? It's like saying, you need to deny the Lord that died for you. How can I? How can I do that? He did.
Well, you know, look, it wasn't to be belligerent or to be hard-headed. If they had accused me of a thing that I actually did, then I certainly would have considered pleading guilty to doing that thing and doing my time. But I wasn't going to say, I'm willing to swear, I'm going to sign this document and say I did a thing that I didn't do. No, I didn't conspire to break the law. I didn't fraudulently import. And this company that you say didn't register with the U.S. Secretary of Health, I had nothing to do with that. And I am not going to sign something and say that I'm responsible for all of this, because – It's not because I'm some exceptional human being. It's just that at the end of the day, am I going to go on the rest of my life, you know, waking up every day knowing that I signed an agreement to say that I broke the law? If I'm going to become a felon, it's going to become fair and square. It's not because I'm going to volunteer to be one and say I did something I didn't do. You know what I mean?
You can't lie to yourself, bro. You can't lie to yourself. You know? You know. You know you didn't do anything, and we know you didn't do anything, and all the people that helped you know you didn't do anything wrong, and if anything, that encouraged you. But the bottom line is you got screwed, and I hope it never happens to you again. I pray for you to go on and find something else God wants you to do and to spend some time with your family right now. And your daughter, how old is she?
14. She hit 14.
So she was like 10 years old when all this happened, you know?
Yeah, 11, yeah. And I came out and she's singing like an angel.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you ever want to come to Columbia and sit on the beach, you can't even leave the States now, can you?
Not at this time. I have what is referred to as 4 years of supervised release that may actually get cut in half. At some point in time, they may cut it in half if I'm, you know, a good boy and do everything I'm supposed to, which I think is not going to be a problem. they drug test me every week and find the same thing. You know, I don't do drugs. You know, I don't even really drink alcohol. So I don't think I'm going to be a problem with them and get released. But after that, I could certainly apply for my passport again, which they took, and probably go to countries that would allow me. I know Canada won't allow a felon in, so I'm can't go to Canada anymore.
Well, you know, this is all going to come to a head. I think, and some people call it enlightenment or whatever. I think people are just getting waken up all over Europe, all over the world, and sick of government abuse. The people in every country are nice. We know that. We've been all over the world. It's the governments, and not everybody, like you said, in the government is bad. It's the policies that are set in place that no one wants to change, they're afraid to change, that they're still implementing, that are hurting people. And they need to just do right. So I wanted to have you on just to let people know that here he is. He's out. He's doing good. You told your story. And you know you're always in our prayers. If you ever want to come back on, be willing to. If anybody wants to help you, they can contact you. Because I know even though you just got a job, you're still just trying to get established on your feet.
Yeah, if anybody wants to get in contact with us, you can just have them write us.
Yeah, we'll send them to you. You know that. We'll do everything we can to help you. But I appreciate your friendship, brother, and keep going, man. Don't let – well, you're not. You're going to keep going. He's got the right attitude, Joe.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys for all of your support in the last several years, the constant letters, and, you know, thanks to my dad for all that he's done, standing by me and sending those letters out. I didn't even ask him to do that, and he just took it upon himself. He just woke up every day to see me get out of prison and get my life back, and you can hear my bird. He's...
Yeah.
You must know we're talking to somebody from Colombia, which is home, probably.
Yeah. You're talking to cousins. I got parrots on my porch. I have this huge mango tree. And every day at 4:30, all the green parrots come to the mango tree, see if there's any mangoes before they take them to go to the next area. So, yeah, this is
a
country. I'd like to have you come here sometime. And God bless you, buddy.
I'd love
I'm going to let you go. And, again... You're in our prayers, and pray for us, because we're definitely not on the wall. They still want to attack us, but we're getting more ammunition every day, and more people. We're getting stronger that are there. I mean, I'm talking about some, I can't get into it in detail, but some things are going to happen this next year, and that are going to even wake people up more.
Yeah,
about
the testimonies alone we're getting constantly, so.
Yeah, send people to us. And encourage him, and we'll be here to help him any way we can. God bless you. Give your wife and daughter a big hug and kiss for us, from us.
Hey, yes, I will. I love you guys. Thank you so much, and give my love to Jim and everyone there. And thank you so much, everyone else, for your support.
Thank
Take
you,
care.
Buddy. God bless you.
God bless.
All right.
All right, so, hey, you want to help Daniel? Like I said, we're not going to mention a lot. Great guy, and... go on our newsletter that's listed there and check out how you can help him. I think he has to go through his dad's PayPal or something. But anyways, he's worthy of the help, and he's trying to attack. He's working now, he says, but he's not really making much money. They keep him on a low thing. But once he gets out of his probation, I think another year or so, then he can, because he served his time. He served the max. He shouldn't have any probation. But they're still restricting him. Once he gets his passport, he's going to come visit us, I think. It's what he told me the other day. So God bless, folks. Remind people where everything's at.
Yeah, it's in the description, the newsletter, how to sign up for the newsletter. Also, our contact information, all the websites where you can find the testimonies, the documentary, which is quantumleap.is. And you can find all the other links in the description. So check it out, sign up, and follow along, guys. God bless everyone.
God bless you. Remember, in a health revolution, you need to get a part of. It takes a little effort on your part. Self-care is what we're promoting. God bless.
We got MMS. We got the solution. It's a health revolution. A health revolution. We got MMS. We got the solution. Your health is not good, you're suffering.
You don't need to suffer.
Build you back up, make you tough again.
It'll make you tougher.
Dengue, MRSA, AIDS, and malaria. With MMS, we are not scared of ya. But those big pharmaceutical companies, they try to keep us down up on our knees. Not going to stop as they're lining their pockets, keeping mankind in disease.